Wake up call.
This is Wake Up Call,
another kind of daytime radio program.
A Gal Media property. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Wake up!
All right, thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call on SB Nation Radio. I am trying to be optimistic about the Major League Baseball season. I am like, Richard Justice is optimistic, Bob Nightingale is optimistic. There's a number of people who cover baseball really well, got some good insight, who feel like in the end the players' union and the owners will get a plan together and put something together. But I'm telling you, if mine was an hourglass and the top of the hourglass was my optimism, don't get me wrong, it's going to the bottom. It's going to the bottom. There's a latest proposal from the Major League Players Association that's sort of a counter proposal to what the owners had put together. If you remember the owners' proposal, we're going to do 82 games and half a season, and then we're going to do add some more teams to the postseason, and we're going to be playing in cities but no fans, and we're going to be in divisions and play within the division. The players' proposal says, well, how about 114 games, and we'll do doubleheaders. And the season will go right to Halloween. It would end on October 31st. And, oh, by the way, there's no cut in pay. They're going to get their prorated amount, which is seems to be the sticking point of where we're at right now. Listen, it's always going to be about money. It's never going to be about amount of games. It's never going to be when the season ends or how many teams are in the playoffs. I mean, those are all negotiable. I mean, you sit down and you can hammer that out. You don't need 14 teams in the postseason. You can go to 12. I think both sides, these are small details to the overriding issue, which is economics. How in the world are we getting paid? How in the world is that revenue going to be distributed to the players? And that's going to be at the forefront of this debate. It's sad because we're trying to get sports back. We're trying to create different scenarios to get sports back. We're trying to do things different way off the board. And it's kind of been fun, to be honest with you. I mean, look, I wouldn't say this is better than, having our regular sports schedule. Certainly not. But if you're going to do it, I like the openness of some of these leagues to say this is how we would do it. Baseball is always going to be right there wondering in the end how are we distributing the money or little of it that we get. We'll explore more on that. It is Wake Up Call. Tony D, Ron Culver, SB Nation Radio.
Listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hi, thanks for joining us. Wake Up Call, it is SB Nation Radio. So I am, like I said, still optimistic baseball is going to happen.
It'll happen.
But
I don't know about 114 game season.
I don't either. I don't know about 114 games that runs to Halloween. I don't, unless you're... God, it gets cold in some of these places.
Well, I mean, not only that, but that were realistically, okay, if you're going to go baseball as a normal season, just less amount of games.
Right.
So we're talking, I mean, they have to start up like almost today to run through 114 games and get done by Halloween. Now we're talking playoffs in December?
Yeah, right.
Or World Series in December?
Yeah, we're going.
They better pick a neutral site.
The proposal for the Players Association says, oh, okay, well, you can, because the owners want to expand the playoffs, right? So they said, oh, yeah, you can expand it. And here's the caveat that they've given. They've said, look, you can expand it to 14 teams this year, and then that can stay next year, even if we're under normal conditions. So this won't be just a pandemic playoff where we're just adding, you know, we're allowing a few more teams in.
Yeah.
You can actually, if we're back to April, you know, starting in late March, early April, go 162 games, you can have this next season too. And then we can discuss it going further, but you can have it. But it's, you get, again, you go through this whole thing and it all sounds great. And then you realize, oh, yeah, but you know what the sticking point is? How are the players getting money? I mean, how are the players do the players don't want their prorated pay touched. Right? They want whatever I make per game during a normal season is what I want to make this season. I know I'll make less overall, but per game I want it to be exactly the same. And the owners have said, oh, no, it's not going to happen because we're losing so much money. And it's just that's the debate. If the debate was these, if the real sticking point was number of games, playoff teams, safety concerns, we would have these would be real deep conversations. I don't know what you do with finances. I don't know what you do with revenue. I have no idea. We are talking about a sport that at one time said we don't care if we lose the World Series. Both sides are not backing down whatsoever. It took a judge to go, hey, let's bring this to a head.
Well, it goes down the same path.
It was
Sonny
Sotomayor
right?
who did that. Yeah,
yeah, we're heading down
thing.
That same path again. I mean, these guys. I mean, both sides. You hear like, yes, they both want baseball back. Yes, they'll try to get. They're going to make sure to get a deal done. But it's like, okay, each day that goes by or each week that goes by, you're prolonging the start of the season.
The idea that we have reached June and we don't have a
plan
idea of how this is coming back is insane.
Yeah. I mean, NHL has a plan. NBA hasn't finalized their plan, but we have a pretty rough idea of what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, there's at least talks, positive talks.
We are still talking about, we're still talking about how players are getting paid in June. Like, it's one thing to say, look, here's the thing. It's one thing if Major League Baseball had said, look, here's our plan. All right, here's our plan. Everyone's agreed to it. The union's agreed to it. We've agreed to it. What we're waiting for is authorities in states to free up the for us to be able to do it, right? Right. So we can't just be like some places are open, other places are open. We want teams to be in their home markets. And so some places are a little bit more hot than others. So we're kind of waiting to see how this affects us as a whole. That would be fine. The idea that we have reached June and there is no agreement on how baseball is going to come back. What have you been doing for the last 2 months? Right? What have you been doing? Like why aren't you talking about this every day? Why aren't you sitting down and discussing this in these 8-9 hours? What else are you doing? Like, get on the Zoom chat and hammer this out. It used to be sit in a conference room together and hammer it out, but you can't do that. So hammer it out on Zoom forever. Well, what's taking so long?
That's the thing. I all I'm looking at now is like, okay, we keep procrastinating. You better start looking into a neutral World Series site.
Yeah,
because there's no way if this is going into, I mean, right now it's definitely going into November. I mean, unless you decide to scrap an entire season and just do a World Baseball Classic type of thing. But I mean, you're not starting July 4th,
right?
Yeah, no right way. Now maybe mid July. If you got a deal done today, maybe mid July.
Yep.
Yeah, but that's assuming a lot because neither side is willing to budge. So let's play the devil's advocate here. We probably won't get a decision until mid June, which means the season might start in August, maybe. And now you're depending on how many games. There's no way you're gonna be able to have a World Series in New York or Boston or Minnesota or Colorado. I mean, there's certain states or certain cities that there's no possible way to have a World Series that late in the year in these places.
It is so bizarre to watch. Baseball is one of those wild sports that because it's so long, you get like weather extremes. Like some places start in April and it's freezing still wintry, still kind of, and then it goes through the heat and humidity and it's gross and it's 100 degrees and then it calms down and it's really nice and it's in the 70s. And then the World Series sometimes it's like overcoats, hats, gloves, breath you can see, right? It's a chilly 32 degrees here at Yankee Stadium tonight. First pitch at 8:35. What do you think it's going to be like in November if the Yankees make the World Series? Or December if the Yankees... It's not even baseball. It's survival. It's like, oh, we'll try to play in these frigid, icy conditions to play these World Series games. You know, and look, I have no idea how 114 games are going to be done if they don't get started quickly. I don't know how you're going to do it.
No, you can't.
You play a doubleheader every other day? I mean, how are you going to cram 114 games?
Are we doing the Bryce Harper method where it's like, okay, yeah, you play 6 days a week, you get Mondays off.
Yeah. Doubleheader on Sundays.
You know how many players are just going to be burnt out?
I mean, just after a while, you're going to go, I can't do this every day. I need a break.
Well, and that
they're cramming seven games in 5 days.
That pulls in the other side of it, too. You know, you want to get paid per game, but if you're going to cram in all these games and your one player decides to take a day off, like say Bryce Harper decides to take a day off, do you get to dock his pay?
Yeah, right. I mean,
for that day off,
it's crazy.
You know, how many vacation days do they get during the course of a regular season?
You know what I'd love? I would love it. I don't know if any journalist has ever, or some big talk show, you know, television personality, ESPN. I don't care who. Can they get a conference call with all the commissioners, like Manfred, Goodell, Silver, and Bettman, and just say, guys, what are you learning through this? What are your obstacles? How can you share? Obviously, sometimes you're dealing with different. You know, one union is different from another union, is different from another union. But how does Rob Manfred, for example, is there anything he can take from how Adam Silver is dealing with his union and how Gary Bettman is dealing with his union in terms of how to negotiate this? Or maybe it's just too far gone where he's like, where Bettman, you know, Manfred is like, you guys don't even understand what I'm dealing with, man. Like, I have no, like, there's no budging, no cooperation. Jeff Passan is reporting that there are owners in Major League Baseball who are fine if there is no season. Now, I don't know how much of that, what he means by that. Like, if you know, but if that's the case, if there really are owners that are like, I don't, well, then fine. If they don't want to budge, then we won't, but we won't have a season. Isn't that so different than what we're hearing from like the NBA, where like everyone seems to be on board with trying to do something, anything, to just to come back, just to wrap this thing up and not give up on the season? Whereas you might have a few owners, and again, I don't know if that's true or not. That's what his sources are telling him, that there are a couple of owners who have said, I'm fine with scrapping the entire 2020 season. Why would you do that? Like, let's sit down and figure this out. I know it's hard. I know we're dealing with money and we're dealing with, you know, look, if your players are always stand up, they are so worried about giving an inch because they're afraid down the road they'll be asked to take a mile, and they don't want to do that. That's a problem. I know that's a problem. But at the same time, this is a whole new world that we're dealing with now. It's a whole new way of being able to provide a country that is looking for some normalcy. And you guys can't sit in, again, a Zoom chat meeting and really hammer this out, because there's some pride or there's some, you know, how far can we take this? I don't get it. I absolutely don't get it, because again, we've done this many, many times, but it bears repeating. You know, NBA is trying to do something at Disney. NHL is doing something with two hub cities and just go right to the playoffs. NFL is staying the course, and Major League Baseball is like, well, we want to get paid and we don't have enough money and we don't care. And you know, give us money and don't give us money and we don't make money. And ugh.
You know, I mean, what was really sad is over the weekend, the MLS squared out a deal.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They're going right to a tournament, right?
Well, no, but See,
I didn't even know.
I don't think they're going right to a tournament. I'm not 100% sure what their season looks like, but the players and the owners came up with a compromise for the shortened season of the pay structure.
It can be done.
It can be done. And it was quiet. No one heard about it because it's MLS. I guess no one cared. Then they just released a statement, you know, over the weekend saying, hey, we worked out a deal. I'm not sure when the season's actually going to start for them. And I think they're planning on playing in front of no fans.
Right.
But the fact was, they got a deal.
They got a deal.
They worked something out.
They worked something out is right. Goodness gracious. All right. At Tony D Radio, as we can hit us up on Twitter, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Good, the bad, and the dumb. That is coming up this hour. Don't want to miss that. It's Wake Up Call, ESPN Nation Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios Alongside Ron Colbert, here's Tony D.
Hey, when you need auto parts, O'Reilly Auto is just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. Order online at O'ReillyAuto.com and pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it out to you curbside, or you can choose to have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping and on most orders over $35. Get your auto parts quickly with O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. I'm actually happy that in our town that I live in, where it feels like the coronavirus just is being ignored most of the time, they're allowing us to use the vacuum cleaners at the local car wash. That's a big deal for me because I don't wash my car at home. I know I have, like, I could break out the vacuum and bring it out to the car. I don't have one of those big shop vacs, but my car is filthy.
Absolutely. No, mine's atrocious right now.
Filthy. I mean, it is embarrassingly bad. Like, if I were to pick you up, you'd go, oh, dude, this is... Come on, man. What is this?
Yeah.
What is on the floor here?
Be better.
Is that living? What is that? What is that? Yeah, I know. It's gross. My wife's like, you got to get this in somewhere. Man, this is terrible. So I think I'm going to do that today. I think I'm going to go today and wash the car and scrub it down, wash it and vacuum it and make it all nice and clean. Because, you know, like people let their hair grow crazy during the pandemic.
Yep.
I let my car get completely disgusting.
Well, you had an excuse.
Yeah.
And that was the problem. I had an excuse. Where am I going to take it? Yeah, I know I could grab the hose and get a bucket and do it myself, but what is the fun in that?
I had a bottle of, this is when I knew it was gross. I bought chocolate milk a few months ago. Well, maybe a few weeks ago, probably early, mid-April. And I drank it, but I left some milk in there and I closed it and I threw it in the back seat and I found it yesterday. It was underneath the sink. Oh, so there was this stale, yucky, awful smelling chocolate milk that was been in my car for a month and a half. I'm horrible.
Did you find it and go, oh, that's where the smell's coming from?
That's it. God.
I've done it's that. Like, I've gone into a car before and was like, oh my God, what is that? Then finally, you know, I'm going to blame it on one of the kids.
No doubt.
That left a box of chicken nuggets under a seat.
Yeah, see, that's the other thing. There's fries. There's all sorts of goodies, little nuggets of deliciousness floating around my car. Well, I don't understand because, like, I'm not a messy person. Like, you come to my house, my clothes aren't all over the place. And like my wife doesn't say, you're disgusting, but my car is disgusting. Like, my office is pretty organized. It's not super organized, but it's not a disaster. Right? My bedroom's not a disaster, but my car, it's like a teenager. I mean, I don't know what it is. It's filthy. It's just disgusting.
My problem is I'm the only one that's ever in my car.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's true. I don't have that issue per se. However, when I look at the trash, when I look at the dirt, I see me, that. I remember going there. I remember going that.
Because when we go anywhere, we take my wife's car because it's bigger. So all the kids can fit in there, and they're not touching each other. They're not on top of each other. If we were all to take my car, I mean, they're sitting. I mean, it's a sedan. There's no frills about it. My car is literally to drive to and from work.
Right.
And during the quarantine, it's been the car to go to and from the store as well. Just because you know, keep the ick factor in one car, not the other, I guess. But, yeah, so it's literally just me driving in the car and all looking in the back seat going, God, maybe just a simple trash bag might do some wonders here.
Good, the bad, and the dumb that's coming up in 10 minutes. I know, I'm saying the same way. Over the weekend, I flipping through the channels, and I found one of the sports channels, because I got a bunch, and I can't remember, I don't know where I land. I just land on something, and I go, oh, I'll watch that for a while. I landed on Game 6 of the 1986 World Series between the Mets and the Red Sox. I was not a Red Sox fan growing up, but I did live in New England. And I remember, and I remember people would say this years and years later about the Buckner play. And it kind of was true towards the end of the game. And I caught it with a couple of innings left. So it was just one of those things was on. I was kind of waiting for the money play. And I used to hear my Red Sox fan friends say to me all the time that every time that game would pop up and a replay,
they always watched it hoping that the ending would be different. like they would know, they know the ball goes through Buckner's legs.
That's
but
funny.
Maybe just maybe this is the one time when they watch it that they were dreaming it, and actually he fields it fine and we go into extra innings and the Red Sox going to win the game.
The other day my wife had on Bewitched. You know, the movie with Will Ferrell and
Elizabeth Montgomery.
Yeah, not that one. The movie
one.
With Will Ferrell and Nicole Kidman.
Right.
And Nicole Kidman had a line in there about how her aunt was a witch, and she was telling some of her friends, and they're like, yeah, whatever. She's like, no, really, she fixed the 86 World Series.
You know who she was? She was the fan behind home plate that was rolling her hands over and over again. I don't know who that woman was, but it was so – she just does it all throughout that latter half of the inning. I think she was doing it most of the game. Just rolling her arms back and forth. It was insane. It was so fun. But you know what? One of my big takeaways was we see these classic games on all the time. I mean, ESPN had a whole channel devoted to this kind of stuff, right? But it's funny how when you settle in, you're like, you know what? It's the only thing on. I'll watch it. And maybe it's just me. I don't know how a lot of other people feel about it, but I'm kind of fascinated in the advancement of broadcasting technology and like how far we've come from like old cryons that used to, you know, like now you've got, you know, how fast a pitch is, exactly where it is. You know, you've got like a statistic that will come up that will show like if it's a high inside pitch, he's batting 110. But if it's low outside, somehow he gets to that and he's batting like 375, right? Well, you have that graph. And Vin Scully and Joe Garagiola, who are doing the game for NBC, they dealt with just basic statistics. Just basics. You know, Vin Scully would be like, and here comes Marty Barrett, 317 this season with 52 doubles. Just standard back of a baseball card statistics that any kid could recite. That was just simple stats. Nothing big, nothing major. And it's amazing how far we've come where you're getting like pitchers now that'll be like, well, against left-handers in the eighth inning with runners on the corner and less than two outs, he's got a 1.75 ERA. And this is the exact scenario that he's now up against. And back then they didn't need any of that stuff. They just Dwight Evans makes an error in the game in like the sixth inning. Right, that allowed Ray Knight to go to third base, and then he later scores on a double play. And Scully points out that the error by Dwight Evans causes a run to a Mets run, and they tie the game. And he just simply says that's only the second error Dwight Evans has committed since July. That's it. That's all he says. Whereas now you would have not only would the producer he'd be able to tell the Joe Buck, you know, who would be calling the game, when that error took place. And they might even have video of it.
They definitely would have video
right?
of it.
They might even show you the error that he committed in July.
And I don't even know how you dial that up so quickly.
I know. It's that kind of level of preparedness, I guess, where they go, what if the right fielder makes an error? Well, he hasn't made one since July. Why don't we call up the error just in case he makes one in the game, and then we can point this out. Let's just have it on file. You know, and it's, I don't know. I know the game was 34 years old now.
Oof.
And we've, I know, I feel so old.
I don't want to say that. You don't need to say that out loud.
God, I can remember that night. I remember that night so vividly. It's
oh,
ridiculous.
So do I. My great-grandmother was in town. She's from New York. She was visiting, because we all lived in California at the time. And she was visiting us, and she was so glued and swearing at the TV.
I know.
The entire game. And I thought for sure she was going to die. Because when that happened, I mean, she was jumping up and down, bouncing all over the place. That's the vivid memory I'll always have.
You know, if the Red Sox had closed out that series, I mean, that Met team was really good. I mean, really, really good. I know the Red Sox were good too. I mean, Roger Clemens had a Cy Young team, but there was a level of destiny that was on that because they had gotten through a hard series against the Astros and closed out the Astros. But there was and the Red Sox had a 2-0 lead in that series early, and then the Mets tied it, and then you know, Game Six was they flashed congratulations, Boston Red Sox. My father's a diehard Mets fan. My brother is a huge Red Sox fan. I remember I watched that game with my brother downstairs in our house, and my dad was upstairs, and you could hear the audio difference of that play from my brother really being angry and my father being like over the moon. But it was just interesting the difference in technology from that game 34 years ago.
Wake up call continues now. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, so good, the bad, and the dumb as we kick off another week on Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio. All right, let's get the good of the day after the weekend that was.
You know, we need a double good.
Yeah,
we need a double dose of the good, and that's what we're getting for you.
All right.
I know you saw a video of it. I don't know if you watched it live, but I did. And I watched it with my boys, SpaceX.
I did too. I was going to bring that up, but I figured you were going to put it in the good today, so I ignored it. But that was fantastic.
I was nervous, though. And this goes to show what we've been talking about all morning about media, because the only stuff I've ever really seen of SpaceX were tragedies. Rockets blowing up.
My goodness.
So I was a little nervous watching this with my boys, and you know, like one of my sons said, no one's ever died in space, huh? And I'm like, well, technically no one's ever died in space.
No, but they've died going up and coming back.
Yeah. I said, you know, we've had issues, we've had problems, but yeah, technically no one's ever died in space. So
you
they're
know,
batting a thousand there.
I did not know this. Again, this has been a learning show for me today. But I did not know that, because it's one of those things where because I didn't see it, I don't go, oh yeah, they're not doing that. I didn't know we haven't launched anything in over a decade.
No,
nearly a decade.
I didn't either.
I had no idea. They were telling me that, and I said, really? Is that true? Yeah. Like, we've gone 10 years without launching anything into space?
Yeah, well, I knew we hadn't launched anything in a while. I didn't realize it had been that long.
Right, right.
Because
I knew
I knew Scott Kelly, I literally feel like Scott Kelly was the last U.S. astronaut to go in space.
Yeah.
But I knew he had a hitch a ride with Russia.
So this is how naive I am. What has NASA been doing this whole time? Are they doing anything? Or are they...
Budget cuts.
Budget cuts? Is that what it is?
They're monitoring the asteroids that barely come here and get the plan going forward with Bruce Willis and the gang.
Yeah, exactly. Are they training drillers to be astronauts so they can put a nuclear bomb into the...
Yeah.
Into the system.
But fantastic. I will say this, though. I made the mistake of flipping over to CNN to watch the coverage because I figured, you know what? News all the time. I learned that the station or the channel I should have gone to, I learned this from my brother, was Discovery Channel. I guess was flawless. It was everything you would hope for from Discovery Channel.
That's great.
But the reason why I point out CNN was because I tuned in. We're watching it. We're starting the countdown. So my sons and I are watching it. We're doing the countdown. And, you know, you see the 30 seconds up on the clock, and they're counting down with it. And then all of a sudden, around with about 10 to 15 seconds left in the countdown, they cut to live video, and the rocket's already left the stand or whatever and is, you know, midway up in its flight.
Oh.
They're like, where's the ignition? We missed all that.
Yeah, right?
It was like, CNN, come on, man, do better.
Do better. Now,
how hard is it?
I saw a picture, a meme, that showed like Apollo 11, what was in their capsule, like the controls.
Yeah.
And what's in this one.
Yeah.
You know, it's like... amazing. Like, is Tom Hanks, you know, are these astronauts having to break out the abacus to do basic calculations for reentry?
They don't
like
even
Tom Hanks and Kevin Bacon?
I mean, we basically, you know what it is? It's Tesla.
It's great.
It's Tesla great. Flying up there. They could just say where they want to go and take a nap.
It looks like the spaceship in all the science fiction movies that we ever saw, right? Just boop, 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 big old screens. Boop, 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 boop,
I mean, if you look back,
we're flying in space.
You remember, you look back at the movie Apollo 13 and you look at all the buttons and all the, I don't know how they knew what every one of those things did.
Oh, I know.
Then you look at what SpaceX has, there's like four buttons.
Yeah, it's great.
Like, don't worry, you know. Tesla will take care of the rest. The four buttons is all you need to know.
We know Elon Musk can't name his child, but he can create a rocket.
He can put people in space. And then it was kind of cool. Hey, reusable parts.
That's right.
Again, got to blame CNN. I kept it there. I didn't learn the first time around. And, you know, watching the, I guess there was video footage of the rocket landing on the ship. And all of a sudden we just get like, oh, it's you know, coming in. It's reentering. Boom. There it is on top of the ship. Yeah. Okay, come on, man.
That's right.
We want to see this cool stuff.
What's the end game with all this? Is he trying to, like, what is Elon Musk? What's his end game with all this? Does he want to start sending people up there?
Probably wants to colonize the moon.
Yeah.
You know, because that's where his son's name will make sense.
I know, that's right. That's what will make sense. So, yeah. I grew up in a town outside of Concord, New Hampshire. And as I mentioned earlier, I was a paper boy. When I was younger, and I delivered for the Concord Monitor, which was the newspaper for Concord, New Hampshire. And that's where Krista McAuliffe was a teacher.
Okay.
And back then, very rarely did I deliver a newspaper. Now it's common, right? Now it's common. But back in that day, in the 80s, very rare, especially for, you know, Concord's not a small town, it's a capital, but it's small. They would rarely put anything in color. And when that shuttle exploded, that was a gigantic color picture.
Yeah.
And I remember delivering that paper that day. And I remember people came to the door to get it. Normally I would just leave it in the door or I'd leave it in a box or something. And I remember people came out to get that paper. They wanted that paper. Tears, people were crying. People didn't even know her. She was the teacher in the town in the high school next to the next town. I had friends who went to that high school that were offered a lot of money for their yearbook for 1986.
Really?
Yeah, lots of money for their yearbook. It was like some collector item. And, for whatever money was back then. Yeah. I worked at a restaurant later, and I had friends of mine that told me. He goes, yeah, my brother was a senior, and he was offered hundreds of dollars for his yearbook because there was a big thing on McAuliffe and big things like that. But it's so good we're back in space.
Yeah,
so good we're doing that. I know we've gone back in space since 86, but I mean it's plus you had the Columbia. Didn't the Columbia shuttle break
was
up?
I was trying to remember if it was 2000s? Columbia or Discovery.
Yeah, it was one of those shows that broke because I remember having to go to the radio station to do a bunch.
Yeah, that was on reentry.
That's right, reentry coming in. So nothing in space.
Nothing in space.
Going up or coming back. Yep. So what's the bad of the day then?
No, I had another good.
Oh, you had another good. Great.
I had another good because we need it. And I thought this was fantastic, and I think you will too. So Disney World's opening up mid-July.
Mid-July.
Disney Springs has already opened up, which is kind of like a little outdoor mall in the megapolis that is World. Do you know who they employed, who they are employing to maintain social distancing?
I saw this.
They're doing it in Disneyland Spring or Disney Springs, and then they will bring the same group of hard workers, if you will, to Disney World, and that is stormtroopers.
Stormtroopers who can't shoot straight, but they can certainly separate you if you're in a large group.
I would definitely stand too close to someone I probably shouldn't have, just so one of them could yell at me.
That's right.
One of them could say, move along.
Now, you've experienced the Star Wars experience at Disneyland in California, right?
Yes, I have.
Did they walk around there
You don't see them as much as you would hope to see them.
Right.
But you do see them walking around. And, you know, every once in a while, like if they're walking with, like, Kylo Ren or somebody important, you know, they're flanking him. But you do see them moving from one building to another, just walking around. And they harass the people.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
You know, and you go up to them, and I mean, there's certain things that you can say, but the park is, I mean, that whole area is weird because a lot of people are just on your phone the entire time because there's this whole interactive Play Disney thing walking around.
And stormtroopers, that's awesome. That's
but
great.
I thought that's actually a fun way to, you know, push the agenda.
Yeah, that's great. That's cool.
Like
all right,
that.
The bad of the day.
The bad of the day was the report. I mean, it's all over Major League Baseball, but you know the main story that came out, I think it came out yesterday, was that the Nationals players are banding together to pay their minor league players.
I know.
And
this bothers me that they have to do that.
Yeah, because the problem is, okay, I get that, hey, minor league ball clubs aren't happening. There's not even talks of them having a season whatsoever. So it's hard to pay them that stipend. But the problem is that they're not fired.
Right.
So they're kind of stuck.
They're kind of stuck.
They can't collect. They can't collect any benefits. They really can't go out and get a job. So they're kind of like in this no man's land of, hey, basically what we need you to do is stay home and mooch off your parents.
Yeah, and by the way, why do players feel that they have to do this? Why can't that just come from the parent club?
I don't know.
They don't have enough money. They don't. You know, like,
and I get it. I get it. You know, you look at it as a business. If the business isn't making any money, then why? You know, you can't just keep doling out money for that business. I get that. But still, I mean, there's. You know, I mean, what was it? The owner of the A's who is worth like billions of dollars.
Yes. Yes.
And if he was to pay all his minor league players, it amounts to like maybe I think like $10 million or something. I don't know. Yeah. Some weird, bizarre thing that doesn't seem like a whole issue.
No.
If you're wanting to hold on to him. Or just do like some clubs have just said, you know, we can't do it, and they're releasing them. At least do that.
At least do that, yeah, so they can go.
But don't
down.
Hold on to them.
Right. You know what the other thing, too, is like David Price is going to pay like $1,000 for every minor league player within the Dodgers system. And he went and he said, I don't want anybody to know about this. But then like one of the minor league players found out about it and kind of brought it up to social media. So now David Price is getting credit. I love that he's doing that, but I kind of wish it was into the, or like he felt like, you know, it shouldn't have to do it.
Right.
But you know, it's good to see these guys are stepping up to take care of the ones, you know, to see where they used to be and making sure that they take care.
Yeah,
of
but I'm with you. I think the owners should probably step up and go, hey guys, you know, I know we're in a tough spot. And,
right.
You know, if we can't get a Major League Baseball team together, we're sure not going to get a Minor League Baseball team
That's
together.
Right. I know. All right. What is the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day, it was a Friday news dump.
Okay.
At least tried to be, but it exploded, and I don't even know what to make of it because I agree with both sides of the fence on this one. But Roger Goodell decided not to honor Dave Portnoy's
auction. I saw that one,
auction.
Yeah.
And I understand the reasoning behind it, but I think it was used as a scapegoat.
I would have advised him to have done it.
Yes.
I would have said, do
it's
it.
It's going to be uncomfortable.
It's going to be uncomfortable.
It's 4 hours.
Do it. And, you know, don't give him ammunition. You know, be cordial and nice and don't give him any ammunition to use it as a platform because he is brilliant enough to take a rejection like that and turn it into something much larger and make it more anti-Goodell than if you had just sucked it up, watched the game with him, been cordial, laughed, and pretended like you were having a good time and get it over with.
Because now
you've created. Yeah, go ahead. Finish that story.
Now you can't go back on it.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the problem.
That's right.
If you decide like, you know what? I mean, you would have to say, hey, listen, the NFL was wrong. I will gladly have you inside my house and will gladly have you inside my basement. You're not coming through the front door. You're coming through the back door. But you're going to be in the fan cave.
That's right. And again, I'm not gonna do anything to allow you to kind of use that as a vehicle. But now Portnoy is saying he's gonna throw the largest anti-Goodell party the world has ever seen.
I know.
It's like all you had to do was sit with him for four stupid hours and watch a game with him and just laugh at his jokes or just not engage in him and just be like, all right, yeah, you know, whatever. I know you hate me. We don't get along, but you know, we'll watch this football game together and you leave and I don't have to deal with you again.
I mean, you think about it, you invite him a half hour before the game. Game's probably 3 hours. I mean, you may even make a call and say, hey, I don't care what at all costs. No flags. Speed this game along as quickly as possible.
Exactly. Exactly. That's right. Yeah,
it's not
a good look.
Not a good look.
Just get it over with, Goodell. You come on, be a bigger man.
Well, then you can't go back on it now.
That's
the
right.
problem.
That's exactly.
Now you paint yourself into a corner that you can't go unless you throw your own league under the bus.
All right, that is the good, the bad, and the dumb on a Monday on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. It is Wake Up Call, SB Nation Radio, presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. You know that story about Portnoy and Goodell, the feud, and reminded me. I remember this this story. Food Network, Ina Gardner is a chef on the Food Network, and there was a story about a Make-A-Wish kid who wanted his Make-A-Wish was to cook a meal with Ina Gardner. I think it's Ina Gardner. Anyway, she said she was too busy to do that for a Make-A-Wish kid. And anyway, so of course that got out there, and then there was this backlash, and then her camp came back and said, because you were talking about how Goodell can't go back on this now.
Yeah, you can't.
Like once you say no, you can't just then all of a sudden say yes. Well, so the backlash, so once the word got out that Ina Gardner had said no to a Make-A-Wish kid who just wanted to cook a meal with her. She was his favorite Food Network celebrity, and he wanted to cook a meal with her, and she said, I'm sorry, I'm too busy, I can't do that for a dying kid. They realized, oh, shoot, that is not a good look. So they said, oh, no, we changed our mind. You are more than welcome to come on set. We'll cook a meal. We'll do some other cool things. And he said, nah, you had your chance.
Yep.
And he chose somebody else. He chose another wish. And he literally stiffed her. He said, no, you blew it.
He literally said, I'd rather die than hang out with you.
I would rather leave this earth knowing I did not get to do cooking with you than do cooking with you. Like, literally, they were in panic mode from a PR standpoint because it was such a terrible
look. You can't go back.
But you can't go back.
No.
You can't.
That ship has sailed.
That's gone. So if Goodell goes, oh, I'm sorry, David Portnoy, you can more than welcome it. Portnoy should go, no, you had your chance. Now you have to sit and watch the greatest anti-Roger Goodell party you will ever see in your life.
You think the clown face t-shirt was good.
Yeah, you thought that clown face t-shirt was good. Wait till I'm done with my extravaganza. You had your chance and you blew it. That's exactly what's going to happen. Well done. Well done. SB Nation Radio.